KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have cleared to partly cloudy skies and 65 degrees. Looking forward to be mostly sunny today with a high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities from their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. The Iowa Department of Public Health COVID-19 dashboard today shows two more cases of the virus in Cass County, 408 more cases across the state, and three more deaths. In Cass County, the total number of positive COVID-19 cases is 30, with 19 recovered. Statewide, there are 35,410 positive cases, with 26,580 recovered. Deaths number 752 to date. Hospitalizations remain at 177. The number of people in an ICU, admissions, and on a ventilator remained unchanged as well on Sunday. And RMCC Region 4 data, that being for Southwest and Western Iowa, is also unchanged. Statewide, 376,499 Iowans have been tested for COVID-19. 339,929 have tested negative. Long-term care facility outbreaks remain steady at 16. 350 patients and staff at those facilities have tested positive. 108 have recovered, and 397 persons have died at those facilities. Cass County, as I mentioned, has 30 current positive cases of COVID-19, with 19 recovered. No change in the numbers over the weekend from Adair, Adams, and Audubon counties. Guthrie County now has 78 positive cases confirmed. Montgomery County, 15. Pottawatomie County, 835, with 672 recovered. Officials with Mills County Public Health on Sunday reported four additional positive cases of COVID-19. The cases are all adults age 18 to 40 who contracted the virus through a known contact. The data currently showed 51 confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in Mills County, with 34 persons recovered. 2,084 have been tested. Four additional cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in Montgomery County, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, bringing the total number of cases there to 15. Health and emergency management officials say all four cases confirmed Saturday are due to close contact with a previously confirmed positive case. All four are adults 18 to 40 years of age and are currently isolating at home. A Pottawatomie County man wanted on a felony second-degree burglary warrant was arrested this morning by Red Oak Police. 28-year-old Roland Charles Chapin III of Council Bluffs was taken into custody at around 12:20 a.m. while being held in the Pottawatomie County Jail. He was transported to Montgomery County and held on a $10,000 bond. One person on a motorcycle was seriously injured during a crash Sunday evening in Crawford County. The state patrol says 37-year-old Nathaniel Short of Denison was operating a 2019 Suzuki motorcycle northbound at a high rate of speed on 20th Street when an unidentified sedan turned northbound from 4th Avenue onto 20th. When the cycle hit the rear of the car, Short was ejected. The sedan left the scene and is still unidentified. That crash happened around 7:20 p.m. Short was flown by helicopter to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. The accident remains under investigation. Spontaneous combustion of 1,000 big bales of hay is believed to have been the cause of a fire in a building in Bridgewater very early Sunday morning. As we reported over the weekend, Bridgewater Fire Chief Darrell Christensen told us a call about the fire at 204 West 1st Street came in around 12:30 a.m. The property is owned by Dennis Lundy of Lundy Farms. Just before daylight Sunday, a construction excavator was brought in to gain better access to and containment of the flames. Christensen said once a fire of that nature starts, there's not much that can be done. Bridgewater Fire requested mutual aid from more than a half a dozen area fire departments in the form of manpower and tankers from Adair, Oneida, also Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Orient, and Wyota. Atlantic's aerial truck was also called in around 1:24 a.m. Sunday. Water was drawn from a dry hydrant at Mormon Lake Trail, or Trail Lake near Bridgewater. The Adair County ambulance was on the scene Sunday to provide firefighter rehab as necessary. Flames were still shooting through the roof of the building around 4:15 a.m. By 5 a.m., most of the departments were released from the scene as the fire had been contained. Chief Christensen said the Bridgewater fire crews remained there until about 7 o'clock, and the bales were expected to continue smoldering for several days. Red Oak Police Saturday night arrested 59-year-old Tony Joe Christensen. The Red Oak man was taken into custody at around 9:40 p.m. in the 1800 block of North Broadway Street on a charge of public intoxication. Christensen was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 bond. And a recent U.S. Drought Monitor report shows abnormally dry conditions in about 35% of the state, with 8 west central Iowa counties classified as being in a moderate drought. Iowa DNR analyst Tim Hall said the state remains in a contrast when it comes to water conditions.
You almost can draw a north-south line along Interstate 35 into the west of the interstate. over the last month. Those areas have been short on rainfall for the most part. And on the east side of I-35, we've had excess rainfall.
All parts of the state are characterized as dry. Hall said there are two different ways to look at it.
In drought terminology, we sometimes talk about an agricultural drought versus a hydrological drought. And the agricultural drought comes much more quickly because those crops need moisture, and they typically get it from the upper part of the soil profile.
The other type of drought impacts the more long-term water needs.
For drinking water, for groundwater. So we're concerned and we're watching it, but right now the impacts are primarily agricultural. But if things don't improve, then we'll start to see those impacts move into other parts of the system.
And Hall says the longer the drought continues, the more you have to worry about the time it takes to come out of it. In the funeral announcements, Gwen Eggers, age 70, of Carson, died July 6th in Omaha. A memorial service for Gwen Eggers will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Lust Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Wade Sams, age 71, of Stewart, died Thursday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Wade Sams will be today at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Don Lentz, age 90, of Greenfield, died Wednesday in Fontenelle. Public graveside services for Don Lentz will be held today at 10:30 at the Eureka Center Cemetery north of Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Jim Bartleson, age 78, of Anita, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Jim Bartleson will be today at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Atlantic. The family has requested that masks be worn. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. Beverly Webb, age 91, of Atlantic, died February 19th. Celebration of Life Graveside Service for Beverly Webb will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Mark Melanson, age 62, of Elkhorn, died July 6th. Memorial services for Mark Melanson will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home is assisting the family. Lyle Brewer, age 90, of Atlantic, died Tuesday in Griswold. A visitation with the family of Lyle Brewer will be Wednesday from 5 until 7 p.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Shirley Guyette, age 94, of Harlan, died July the 6th. Graveside services for Shirley Guyette will be held Friday at 10:30 in the Harlan Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. James Crawford, age 72, of Portsmouth, died July 3rd. A mass of Christian burial for James Crawford will be held July 25th at 1 o'clock at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Marie Greiner, age 93, of Avoca, died June 30th. Services for Marie Greiner are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities. From their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.